Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, welcome to the number one Bengals podcast. I am Daniel McDuke, and as always, I'm joined by Dr. Hoji, the Dr. Kismoji, and John Sheeran. And we have a very, very, very special guest today. I'm talking about Elise Jesse, who joined us a couple months ago after she broke the bombshell story about how Mike Brown was begging and pleading with his players not to kneel, and he was offering them all sorts of favors and benefits and all that. And in the end, we all know what happened. Now there are no players, fans in the stands, so Mike Brown got out of that one pretty easy. But now we have a new story that's about the coaching staff. And Elise, this article...
It's a doozy. I'm calling this the anger edition, and it has nothing to do with you, Elise. It has to do with me and my anger over Joe Burrow. I've gained 20 pounds since Sunday on shrooms, not hallucinogens. I've been eating fried mushrooms out of desperation. So I'm angry, and I want to hear your story.
Well, yeah. So thank you so much for joining us. And I mean, sure. I would give my summary before you tell us, the important parts that I left out. Basically, the players, some of the players who are remaining autonomous, I think, right?
Anonymous.
Anonymous. Yeah. Thanks, John. Yeah.
Okay. Let's focus on the important things here. Yeah. And so they are saying that, look, Zach Taylor's coaching environment is like a college environment or worse, which means, I'm not sure what that means. Maybe that means like they're serving them like a jail. They're serving them maybe ramen noodles, and Zach is wearing flip-flops, I think, around practice. I don't know what worse than that would mean, but it's very unprofessional. It's not a professional football team. And and some of the assistant coaches, like Lou Anarumo, have been abusive. And my internet is a little unstable, so I haven't been able to download the full article. Some of the letters don't show up, but they were missing. So it's something like their dumb mother fingers, I think, or dumb butchers or something. And I'm not sure exactly what the name is.
And at least in our village, calling someone a butcher is the worst thing. You never call someone a butcher.
Yeah, they really have it bad. But
also, like, especially if you call someone a mother butcher, oh my gosh, that's it. End of the story. It's a big fight.
So look, this is the thing. And then we have, of course, our favorite Jim Turner, who we had some players on our show, and I won't mention their names. I'll keep them atomicized or whatever, so that they aren't embarrassed. But
atomized.
When they were on our show, they were too embarrassed to say, reveal things about him, which shows they don't have a relationship with him. Like, I asked if he has a snuggle buddy or if what his favorite ice cream truck treat is, and they had no answers. So clearly,
I don't think anybody like snuggles on a regular basis.
He does. Daddy does.
I do.
If Daddy saw a therapist, it would be weeks and weeks of work and probably some hard drugs. He never got past the infantile stage. He wears feet on his pajamas.
But look, Jim Turner, he called Isaiah Prince a thug. He called him a thug. And let us not ignore the racial connotations with that kind of language, the problem there. So I will stop there and let you kind of fill in the blanks. Yeah.
Fill him in.
The article, I think, speaks a lot for itself. But there's a reason why Isaiah Prince was not happy with being called a thug by his coach. And there is a reason why LeCharles Bentley basically raised hell, from what I was told, about that incident and told Jim Turner to apologize for that. And here's the thing. When you talk about a coach using certain language towards players, that's not uncommon in football at any level. But players take it a certain way based on whether or not they have a relationship with that coach. So if the players and coaches have a strong relationship and there's trust between them, and the coach cusses that player out for not doing something correct, the player will take it one way. But if the player doesn't respect the coach who's cussing him out and doesn't understand why he's cussing him out, it's going to be taken differently. And, you know, I've talked to other people in the league and it's like, you know, if you're going to walk around and cuss out your players and use like that type of language towards them in anger, I mean, wouldn't you look at yourself and think, you know what, maybe I should try to coach a different way so that this player understands it?
I think the 4 wins in 2 years kind of speaks to that as well.
Yeah, it kind of says it all, doesn't it, John?
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
And watching Carlos Dunlap sabotage his career, the man was perfectly fine losing under Marvin Lewis. I'll remind you.
I don't think he sabotaged his career. I think he bought himself a few more years, actually.
No, I meant his season. Yeah. I meant not looking good on purpose so that he could leave the team. Yeah, he saved his
career. He sabotaged.
Well, when he went in front of the media that day and aired stuff out, he found out that he was demoted moments before going in front of the media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's breaking too, Daddy-O. That's breaking.
Yeah, but Jesse, I want to ask you something. So you said how, you know, the players, if they have a relationship, you know, if there's an understanding, like we can joke with our friends. Like I call these guys all sorts of names when the ratings are low, especially. And they're very low right now. And I blame Zach Taylor for getting Joe Burrow injured. But I call them all sorts of things and they don't mind at all.
You know, if someone you don't know walks up to you and calls you a butcher,
exactly.
It's not gonna be very good.
That's
exactly.
It. You punch him in the face. You have to by law.
But what I'm trying to say is Zach is a young, unproven coach.
Yes.
And he had veteran guys, Carlos Dunlap, AJ Green, who's rubbed the wrong way. And most importantly, like, you know, there was a tweet I saw about how he didn't even know how to run a practice at first. And you're talking about how he's going around with wearing flip-flops and all that. I mean, he doesn't know what he's doing. And the players know that. They've been around. They know what winning football looks like. And he's so stubborn. I mean, you talked about how Joe was the heart of the team. And when he went down, how Zach Taylor was like, oh, nothing's changed. Everything's going to be fine. You know, we're going to roll with Ryan Finley. Oh, and they benched Ryan Finley before his first start. Everything is chaotic. But he acts like, no, everything is cool. He's in denial. And he gets upset. Like, there's a question about the offensive line. And he was like, what are you talking about? We're making improvements. I'm not going to apologize. Joe Burrow didn't tear every single ligament. He still has his LCL intact. He's fine.
He still has a leg.
He still has his leg. We didn't have to amputate it. Our offensive line is great. That was his answer, basically. And so you got to think, when a guy is that stubborn and that arrogant and that unproven and that young, and he's dealing with veteran guys who know how to do it, really, I don't see a resolution. I mean, unless they just jettison every veteran and just have, like you said, these players who are just worried about their jobs and will do whatever he says.
Well, the first thing is that you could have the smartest coach in the league and the players aren't going to care what that coach has to say until they feel like that coach cares about them, if that makes sense. Players want to be put in a position to succeed individually and also win. That's what they want to do. That's no secret. Obviously, coaches are competitive as well, but it's how they go about building those relationships. And when a coach like Lou Anarumo, for example, shows favoritism towards one player and then acts differently towards another and shows inconsistency, players are put in a position where they have to watch out for that because they don't know if they're going to be next to fall out of favor with him. So when you don't have trust, you don't have consistency, you don't see accountability. I mean, what else do you expect from players? They're not going to put their bodies on the line for something like that.
Do you get the sense from the people that you talked to that this was a consensus forming in the locker room, or was this, do you think, a lot from players who have been in the locker room for a while and are just not buying what Taylor is because he is the new coach in the sense?
I think there are players who, I mean, you have a room of 64, 65 guys, so everyone's not going to have the exact same opinion, obviously. There are some players who thrive in this system, who also thrive in Lou Anarumo's system. But like Jesse Bates has said to me before, and I've written about this, you know, year one with Lou Anarumo, he didn't feel like he could ask certain questions to Lou. And now he's built a better relationship over time with Lou to where he can ask those questions and not feel like he's being, you know, put down or unintelligent, and he can kind of figure out a way to understand what the expectations are of him, and that helps him play better.
Well, Elise, I'm going to follow up with John's question for a clarifying question. Now, a lot of your sources are anonymous, and I'm that's fine. I respect that. But following John's question, I guess I'll put it like this. If you had to guess the percentage of disgruntled Bengals players, just guessing, what would be your guess?
Oh, God. It's in the double digits.
That's crazy.
That's how many guys are on the team.
It's not two or three. It's not two or three.
It's not two or three. It's not two or three. It's at least 13, 14 we're talking about. That's crazy.
The thing is, though, their anonymity is extremely important to me.
Of course.
It's not just players who are speaking, though. It's also coaches. It's also people within the organization who are not playing or coaching football. So it's not just the players.
Do you get a sense that there could be, if not Zach getting fired, because I don't think that's necessarily on the table, do you get the sense that there is major shakeups impending after the season?
I would hope for the player's sake and for Zach Taylor's sake that there would be. The issue is that I don't know how successful he will be in trying to get an established, qualified coach to come in and fill that spot, like at offensive line or at defensive coordinator. I'm sure you guys remember Jack Del Rio didn't even want to interview in Cincinnati. No. So that's going to, if he goes down that path, it will be quite a challenge. It's going to be difficult.
Yeah. I mean, we couldn't even get Bill Callahan to join his son.
I will say this. I'm not an expert, but from a fan's perspective, the anger, of course, is directed at Zach, but is really directed at Jim Turner and the offensive line. They broke that poor boy with the angelic face, the prepubescent fluff, Joe Burrow. I mean, we love that kid. And you know what broke my heart, Elise? He goes off the field. An hour later, he's like, can't get rid of me that fast. Young man, we never wanted to get rid of you. We love you. They broke that kid. You know, it broke my heart. The way they broke that kid. I was very upset. And people say Zach Taylor's good at coaching Joe Burrow. That makes no sense. Joe Burrow is self-coachable. As Daddy would say, Joe Burrow is autonomous. He's like an elevator. You push the button, he does the job.
You're saying, but you're mentioning his name, so right, he's no longer autonomous. But let me say this, Elise. Look, building on Hoji's, whatever that was, question, comments, rant. Yeah, exactly. So look, the Bengals won one respectable, they had one good game in the Zach Taylor era against the Titans. And all of a sudden, people are like, oh, look, Zach Taylor is scheming people. Oh, he's doing all this great stuff. He's so brilliant. He had one game. But is the sense in the locker room the same that me and Hoji have, basically, that any success they've had on offense, which is really the only area they've had some success, I mean, some improvement, isn't it clear that it's all Joe Burrow? That he is kind of creating the windows, getting people open. I mean, and his chemistry with Tyler Boyd. Does anybody basically think Zach Taylor is a offensive mind, with a future? He's a young up and coming offensive mind. Like this guy is going to take us to heights like the Rams. Or is it just like, oh, I guess we can deal with him, but the assistants are an even bigger problem?
I haven't specifically asked the players that question, to be honest with you. His offensive genius was certainly the sentiment coming in. And there are certain players who are just flat out talented, like Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon. I think those guys easily flourish wherever they go. So they're outliers to me.
Here's what I think. I wonder if he's going to be able to win a game by the end of the season. I don't see how he can. I mean, you pick the worst team in the NFL.
I think the most harsh allegation, if I can call it that, in the article was it said that some sources are saying Zach Taylor is 4-21-1 now in his career. If that's true, I mean, that's maybe worse than all the other stuff put together. But let me ask you something, Elise. You said that there's non-players involved, right? No. So I'm just going to throw out an example. And you don't have to say this is true or not, but you can say I'm on the right track. So like, for instance, Mike Brown's wife, right? I mean, Mike Brown's a cheap guy. She obviously has a lot of, purses and shoes and things that she probably needs.
I have no idea.
She hasn't complained to you at all about the lifestyle of being basically in poverty when you have billions of dollars. Yeah.
You can't play this game. This is the anonymous game where you start to guess, like, is it this person, is it that person? She's a reporter. She can't give away her sources. So you can't start guessing and being like,
I can confidently say that it's not Mike Brown's wife. No.
See, OG? We're getting closer. We're getting closer.
A lot more than you expected.
Yeah. this is breaking. We got that. You got to write another. By the way, Elise, you can find her stuff on Sports Illustrated's All Bengals site. And this is going to be a new article now, I think, right, Elise? I mean, but anyways, yeah. But
it's an interview with a vampire, but it's an interview with Dadio. Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah. You guys perverse are crazy. Character. I forgot how crazy you guys are. Yeah.
I am calling last Sunday Burrowgate. And the reason I'm calling it Burrowgate is quarterbacks go down all the time. But this quarterback, this young, healthy, beloved quarterback went down because of negligence. Too many drop back plays, too much pressure, too many sacks, more than anyway. Historically speaking, it's Burrowgate. And I think, Elise, if there was value to you want to respond, go ahead.
Running the ball is essential to making sure that an offense is not one-dimensional. I think anybody who watches football knows that. That's not a secret. And when you think about a player like Joe Burrow drafted first overall, and he's the face of the franchise now, and you are paying him all this money, the number one priority should be to keep him on the field.
Yes.
That should be at the top of the list. To make sure that Joe Burrow is able to stay healthy, stay on the field.
And John, to what extent do you blame the offensive line for what happened to Joe Burrow and the coaching of the offensive line?
Well, hold on. Before you answer,
John.
But John, before you answer that, to what extent do you blame Zach Taylor for the offensive line we see before us?
It just seems like the negligence was already done in the offseason when they only signed a career backup guard who has played like 40 snaps this season because he got injured. And then they drafted a guy in the sixth round who unfortunately did not look very good at his new position at right tackle on Sunday. So like that hit, it was unfortunate, and the severity of it was obviously unlucky, but he was the most hit rookie quarterback through the first 10 games for a reason. The offensive line was just bad. And when you get hit that many times, the odds of one of those hits being catastrophic just only increases. So like Elise says, like the lack of balance obviously hurt him because it put him on the field a bit more. And also, like, they had one realistic goal, it was to keep him healthy. And unfortunately, they didn't do enough to upgrade the offensive line to make sure that was possible.
Well, and I put a lot of that on the offensive line coaching, and that's because there are guys that are on that field that are simply trying to survive. Technique is not addressed in the meetings. Accountability is not there. They want to protect Joe Burrow. They want to get better. They want to play at their height, but they're not getting that
coaching.
They're not getting the coaching to do that and correct the mistakes. That's one of the biggest things, is correcting their mistakes and moving on from there and practicing and making sure that they understood the mistake they made, and then be able to go out and practice Wednesday and Thursday what they need to do in order to succeed in the next game.
It sounds like you're saying they're not being coached. I had a bad piano teacher. Same thing. All they do is correct your mistakes, but they don't tell you how to do it right.
If they address your mistakes at all.
No. Yeah. They just yell at you and call you a butcher.
Jim Turner was always very, very nice to me personally, but the stories that I hear...
To your face.
Most people are nice to people's faces. But yeah, behind closed doors, it seems very, very different. And players were wary already coming in, because when they saw that hire of Jim Turner, they instantly remembered his track record from Miami. Yeah. Players and coaches talk, obviously. We all know that. And so when they saw the name Jim Turner go across the board, they were instantly on high alert. And when I asked for reactions even back then, they were saying, you know, I hope that he proves this track record wrong.
Yeah, I think I can say this because he made his own name. He decided not to keep his name iconicized. And that is Billy Price recently, when he liked a tweet saying that the Bengals need the new O-line coach, basically. I don't know if you saw that. Oh. Chris Rowling. No. Yeah, he took a screenshot before Billy Price unliked it. But yeah, I mean, Billy Price basically... These guys, they know. The offensive line players, the offensive linemen, like I said, we had them on the show. And when I asked them at Jim Turner, they kind of looked to the side and they kind of like gave it a smirk. And they're like, Jim Turner is a good guy. Yeah, he's a little rough around the edges, but you know, something like that. And I can't say their names. Please don't click on our YouTube videos. You can find them if you click on the DNH Sports logo and then you go to videos, you can find there's an interview section. Please don't click on those because I want their names to remain iconicized. But please
comment in the comment section below this video about your thoughts as to what should happen with the future of Cincinnati Bengals.
Also, what you want Elisa's next hit piece to be. Like, who should she go after Next.
What I'll be honest with you guys. Brown. I do not like writing hit pieces. I'm just going to tell you that. Anybody who has lived I would or worked with me in Cincinnati knows that I am Positive Polly. They used to call me Positive Polly when I worked in Cincinnati.
But look at what the Bengals did to you.
I would pay you.
And it did it to all of us. I'm telling you, I used to love life. The Bengals killed my mojo.
I mean,
well, you're giving them a lot of stock if they're going to kill your mojo.
Well, I did. Yeah, that's true. Too much stock, probably. Yeah.
I would like to know about Nurse Betsy, I believe her name is, who is the only person in charge of the injuries. Because I know that we have maybe one old lady taking care of the, that is why the injuries, it's always like Joe Mixon.
That's why it's going to take a year and a half for Joe Burrow to get better. She just rubs like camel fat on the knee and hopes it gets better and blows on it. I mean, it's not going to work in the long term.
Yeah, I would love to read about that. But I would say this, if all Bengals is ever like, hey, Elise, your story is a little too, you know, too controversial, I would give you one tenth of the earnings of DNH Sports per month to write for us instead. We don't have a website. You can just write it in the video descriptions or something. We'll figure it out.
Put it in an envelope, drop it off in front of his door. That's how it works. He'll put the money in an envelope, the $4 in an envelope, drop it off in front of your door.
Oh my gosh, $4? What can he buy for $4? I don't even think you can buy a coffee with that.
Well, you could donate it back to the show, probably. That's what he wants.
That's how
he works.
Charity.
Sure. No problem with that. But I mean, for instance, like, you know, what's going on with the scouting department, the lack of GM? Are people finally starting to catch on to
how are they getting Eric Bieniemy?
I think it would be helpful if this team had a general manager, because then the players and coaches could go to somebody else, someone to kind of be the bridge between players and coaches, players and owners. I think that would be extremely helpful, but I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, me neither. Maybe that should be your piece. Why isn't it happening? Why won't it happen?
You're going to have to ask Mike Brown that question.
Yeah, I'm going to write him a letter very soon. But look, Elise, thank you so much for coming on the show. Everybody, please read her article. It is an amazing article. I've read it 3 times and I've made it to the 2nd or 3rd paragraph already. And make sure to subscribe to our podcast, give a 5-star review.
Yeah.
And we will see you next time. So long. Excuse me. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.